The following previews are of Graphic Audio Productions, rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
Do not go out after dark. That is when the beast will hunt.
Gregor says there was something lurking in the darkness tonight. Something that was hunting.
Shh.
What?
Listen.
Congratulations, Miss Creed.
What do you want from me?
Right this way, my dear.
Anya, help me, please!
If I die inside there, Bob goes free.
Of course.
I want that sword.
The sword stays with me. That's my final offer.
Here's my counteroffer. The sword, Anya. Now.
Rogue Angel number 12, The Soul Stealer, from Graphic Audio.
They call him Preacher, and they call him when they need help. Now, a Mexican brother and sister have asked the legendary frontiersman to accompany them into the Sangre de Cristo Mountains to find a hidden treasure of gold and silver.
The relics were wrapped in cloth and placed in heavy bags. The gold bars were loaded in wooden chests. Don Francisco picked 10 of his most trusted men to go with him, and they loaded the treasure onto pack mules. Then they set off from the mission into the mountains, following this river at first.
Do them papers say how far they followed the river?
Not exactly. According to the manuscript, the party branched off into a dry canyon that rose steadily, taking many turnings, until it reached a high plateau. There, they located a suitable hiding place and concealed the treasure before returning to the mission, and the violence that awaited them there.
That's all it says? No offense to your old ancestor, Esteban, but shoot, that ain't much to go on.
I know. Don Francisco was writing this not as directions for finding the treasure, but only as part of the story of his life. Therefore, he was not as specific as he might have been.
Any mention of any other landmarks besides the twisty canyon and the high plateau?
Only one. Let me see. Ah, here it is. He says that the treasure will be protected by the Wolves of God.
Wolves of God? Wonder what tarnation he meant by that.
I have no idea. There is no explanation in the manuscript.
Well, whatever he was talking about, maybe we'll know it when we see it.
But in a land stained by cruelty and war, the Spanish treasure has drawn the interest of a treasure hunter with ruthless paid killers as his partners.
They found the treasure, I'm sure of it. Let me see. There's some sort of tunnel. Preacher and one of the Indians climbed out of it. Now, there must be a cave down there below the cliff. What better place for Don Francisco to have concealed the treasure?
Yeah, you're right. They're throwing branches and such down the hole, so they must be planning to build a fire in that cave.
There's no point in waiting any longer. We need to climb back down, join up with the rest of the fellas, and get over there and jump those folks before they know we're anywhere around.
Sounds good to me, Ross.
Wait just a moment. Perhaps it would be better to wait and let them bring all the treasure out of the cave before we make our move.
Hell no. I didn't have a problem with letting them find the cash. But there are plenty of us to haul it up out of that cave. We need to jump them now, while all their attention is on what they're doing. If we wait until they brought the treasure out and loaded it onto the wagons, Preacher will be on his guard even more than he was before. I want that son of a bitch dead before he knows what's hit him.
The caves dotting the wild mountainside are guarding an explosive secret. And Preacher's gut tells him that whoever next claims the Spanish treasure will be the next to die. Don't miss the first Mountain Man 12, Preacher's Fortune. Available now from Graphic Audio.
And now, our feature presentation.
Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents William W. Johnstone's The Last Gunfighter, narrated by Ken Jackson, with performances by James Konacek, Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, James Lewis, David Coyne, Dylan Lynch, Thomas Penny, Eric Messner, Michael Glenn, Scott McCormick, Andy Clements, Nanette Savard, Richard Rowan, Stephen Carpenter, Christopher Graybill, Tom Simpson, Michael John Casey, Lily Beacon, Mort Shelby, Peter Stray, Sherry Simpson, Elizabeth Demery, Bobby Aselford, and Johann Detweiler. The Last Gunfighter, number 6, Imposter.
It was late afternoon when Frank Morgan rode up and called out to the lone figure sitting by the tiny campfire. The man looked like a miner with his clothing and lace-up boots.
I'm friendly. You want some company?
Sure. Come on in and pull up a piece of ground and take a load off.
Coffee sure smells good.
Come on over and have a taste. I got plenty.
Fire feels good, too. It's turned chilly.
For a fact.
Finding any color around here?
The man looked at Frank suspiciously, and his hand inched a bit closer to his shotgun.
Enough to get by. Why, you figured on robbing me?
Don't be stupid. I'm no thief.
Since when?
What the hell are you talking about?
The miner moved a hand toward his shotgun. Frank leaned over the hat-sized fire and grabbed the scatter gun.
Now, you got a problem with me, mister.
I knowed it. You're gonna kill me, ain't you, Val?
Who the hell is Val?
You is.
My name is Frank, not Val.
Says you. I know who you is. You're Val Dooley.
Friend, I never heard anyone called Val Dooley. And personally, I don't give a tinker's damn if you believe that or not.
And he's your twin brother.
Nope. Don't have a twin brother. Fill it up, friend. That's good coffee.
Might as well have me one, too. Be my last cup on Earth. I ain't scared to die, Val.
Damn it, man. I am not this Val person.
You sure look like him.
Oh, hell, forget it. How far to the nearest town? I need supplies.
About 20 miles southwest. Would you get a rope if you go there, Mr. Whoever the hell you are?
A rope?
Val Dooley is wanted, dead or alive, and you is a spitting image of Val.
If this Dooley person is so famous, how come I never heard of him?
He ain't been outlawing long, but in a few months he's been rampaging and a-raping and a-killing and a-stealing to beat the band. And that ain't all he's been doing.
Well, what else has he been doing?
Lifting the dress tails of a lot of good women. He's a mighty handsome man. Women get all flighty and stupid around you. Him. You sure you ain't Val Dooley?
I'm sure.
I guess you ain't. But if you want some good advice, you'll get back on your horse and head east. Get the hell out of this part of California, because if you stick around here, you're going to be a sure enough dead man.
Mister, look hard at me. Think of a gunfighter. A very well-known gunfighter. Now, who am I?
Val Dooley! I done told you that about a dozen damn times.
I gotta get to the bottom of this. I think I'll head for this town. What's the name of it?
Deweyville. The sheriff there is damn mean, too. Name's Carl Davis. But you're a damn fool if you don't hightail it out of this state, Mr. Whoever you are.
I've been called a lot worse than a damn fool. Thanks for the coffee. Hey, how far is the road that'll take me to Deweyville?
Couple of miles that way.
Old coot's not right in the head.
Frank made camp with about an hour of daylight still left. He hobbled the horses so they could graze, and then fixed food for himself and Wolf.
Wolf, if I tell you to get, boy, you get, you hear me? That old rummy back there might have been about half right. I don't want you to get shot. So if I tell you to get, you run. I'll take that as a yes. You just do as I tell you.
Wolf walked closer and licked Frank's hand.
All right. Good boy.
After his meal, Frank sat by the fire, smoking and drinking coffee and thinking.
Maybe I'll get lucky this time, Wolf. Maybe I can find me a little place where folks don't know me, and I can buy me a little spread. We could stop this eternal wandering. Do you like that? Doesn't make a damn bit of difference to you, does it, boy? Well, I like to dream about having a place where I can settle down and live in peace. But I know it's just a dream.
Frank Morgan was a gunfighter, but it was a profession he did not choose. When he was in his mid-teens, working on a ranch in Texas, a bully pushed him into a gunfight the boy did not want. But the bully died from the bullet Frank fired into his chest. Frank drifted for a few months, then joined the Confederate Army. At war's end, he headed back west, looking for work. That was when the brothers of the bully who had forced him into a deadly fight caught up with Frank. Frank killed them all, and his reputation spread. Frank drifted, always trying unsuccessfully to escape his reputation. And now he was in Northern California and had been told he looked just like a local desperado named Val Dooley.
I'll get this straightened out and be on my way. Last thing I want is a bunch of locals taking potshots at me.
At mid-morning, Frank rode slowly into the town of Deweyville. People began coming out of stores to line the boardwalks on both sides of the street, to stand silently and stare at him.
Steady now, Wolf.
You got your nerve, Val!
Somebody shoot that murderer!
Get him! Don't let
you
him get
scum,
away!
You scum, we got you now!
Go, Wolf, go! What the hell's the matter with you people?
There was no answer from the wild-eyed crowd as several men tore the reins from Frank's hands and brought Stormy to a halt. Wolf was nowhere to be seen. He had ducked into an alley and disappeared. Frank was dragged from the saddle and thrown to the ground.
Somebody get a rope!
Yeah, hang that murdering bastard!
That's it. I won't tolerate any lynch mob. Back off, all of you. Now, damn it, get your hands off that man and stand away. Move!
But it's Val Dooley, Sheriff Davis.
I don't care if it's Satan himself. He gets a trial. Get up slow, Dooley, and keep your hands away from your gun.
I am not Val Dooley. My name is Frank Morgan.
Frank Morgan, the famous gunfighter? In a pig's eye you are. You're Val Dooley, and now we've got you.
And now we get to see you hang, you murdering scum.
Frank Morgan. That's a good one. Val, you must not have heard the news.
What news?
Frank Morgan's dead. He was killed last week in a gunfight over in Montana.
Yeah, it's true. It come over the telegraph wires just hours after it happened. Now move, Val. You got a date with the hangman.
What the hell are you up to, Val?
My name is Frank Morgan, Sheriff. How many times do I have to tell you that?
Frank Morgan's dead, Val. It's been confirmed. Let me show you something. Look at that, and then tell me that isn't you.
Frank stared at the wanted poster in disbelief. The face on the Dodger was his likeness, no question about it. It was like looking into a mirror.
I read somewhere that everybody on Earth has a twin, Sheriff. I guess I found mine.
Oh, come on, Val. Give it up, man. You're caught, and that's that.
My name is Frank Morgan.
Damn.
Hey, Sheriff.
Now what, Val?
Is there a lawyer in this town?
Sure. Charles Carter. Why?
I want to see him.
I'll tell him. But it isn't going to do you any good.
Why not?
Because you're going to hang, Val. Just as sure as the sun comes up in the east.
You mean I'm not going to get a trial?
Of course you're going to get a trial. We're not a bunch of savages. It'll all be legal and dignified. We'll hang you right after the trial.
That's not very comforting. Are you going to get that lawyer for me?
Sure, but there's no hurry. Judge won't be through here for a couple of weeks. So just relax, Val. I'll talk to Lawyer Carter in a few days. One of the deputies will see about getting you something to eat in a little while. My sister Alberta cooks for the jail. It'll be a good meal. You can count on that.
Sheriff, I can prove I'm Frank Morgan.
No, you can't, Val. So stop harping on Frank Morgan, will you? It's getting tiresome.
Not as tiresome as this getting for me.
Frank stepped up on a small stool so he could look out of the barred window. He carefully inspected the bars. They were set solid. Not a chance he could get out that way. Frank stretched out on the bunk and went to sleep.
Mr. Dooley?
I'm not Val Dooley, but everyone around here sure thinks I am.
The woman stepped into view, a tray in her hands. She was just about the homeliest woman Frank had ever seen. She was thin as a rail. Her mouse-colored hair was unkempt. There was a big wart on her pointy chin. Her long nose and her chin almost met, and if she had taken a bath in the past 6 months, she had forgotten the soap.
Don't be silly. Of course you're Val Dooley. I'd know you anywhere.
Lady, I never saw you before in my entire life.
And if he had, Frank figured, she would have given him nightmares.
Oh, you're such a card you are, Val. Look, I brought you a good supper. Fried chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy. Now you eat that up.
Alberta?
Silly, of course I'm Alberta.
Sure you are. Food looks good.
I want you to enjoy it, Val. I'll bring you meals every day. I remember how you like your food prepared. Val, do you remember the times we used to have when we were children?
Yeah, how could I ever forget them, Alberta?
Especially the times we used to go swimming down at the creek. I'll never forget those good times.
Yeah, me either, Alberta. Sure won't.
Do you ever think about the times we went swimming without clothes?
Huh. I think about those times often.
Me too, Val. Sometimes I get, well, all gooey just remembering them. Do you?
Do I get gooey? Well, I guess you could call it that.
Alberta, you all right in there, sis?
Of course I'm all right. Why wouldn't I be all right, you ninny?
Just checking, sis.
He doesn't understand. He doesn't realize that you would never hurt me, Val. We have too many good memories to share, don't we?
Sure do, Alberta.
Well, I must be going for now, darling. But I'll be back later with a pot of coffee just for you. And then we'll talk some more.
I can hardly wait.
Oh, me either.
Frank sat down on the bunk. He picked up a chicken leg and took a bite. It was delicious. The woman might look like something the cat dragged in, but she could cook, no doubt about that.
Something on your mind?
My sister.
What about her?
I don't want you messing with her, Val. I know you and her was close when you were kids, but that was a long time ago. So leave her alone.
Well, Sheriff, how the hell do you think I'm gonna mess with your sister if I'm locked up in your damn jail?
You've been warned, Val. Just leave her alone.
Idiot. Old damn town is loony as a tree full of monkeys.
Frank ate his fried chicken, potatoes, and bread, and drank the single cup of coffee, then stretched out on the bunk. When he awakened, he could tell by the sun it was late afternoon.
Sheriff! Hey, Sheriff!
Hey, Val!
Frank stood up on the stool and looked out. A small boy was standing in the alley.
Miss Alberta said to tell you she's taking care of your dog and that she'd be around about dark to bring you a tray of food.
Thank her for me, will you, boy? And ask her if she'll bring me a pot of coffee.
Sure enough, I will. See you, Val. Oh, the men in the town are talking about hanging you, Val. Sheriff Davis is leaving tomorrow afternoon for a couple days. I heard the men saying that tomorrow night would be a real good time to come get you and string you up.
Thanks for warning me, boy.
Sure!
Frank had been expecting some talk along those lines, so the news came as no surprise. He sat back down on the bunk and rolled a cigarette.
Time to start making some plans before time runs out.
Hello, my secret love. I brought your evening meal, even though I'm not supposed to.
Oh, that's very nice of you, Alberta.
It's roast beef with gravy and potatoes. I know you like that.
Yeah, I sure do. Alberta, where's the sheriff? I need to speak to him.
Oh, he's out of town for a few days. But Deputy Tucker is in charge. He's sort of new at the job. But my brother has faith in his ability.
That's nice, Alberta. I'm sure glad to hear that. Alberta, can we trust each other? Really, really trust each other?
Of course we can, darling.
Alberta, dear, I have got to get out of this jail.
I know, darling. I'll do anything I can to help.
You will?
Certainly. Then we'll be free and together forever.
I need a pistol, darling. Preferably my pistol. I give you my word, I won't hurt anyone.
You promise?
Cross my heart and hope to die.
She pulled his peacemaker out of the folds of her dress and smiled.
This pistol, Val?
That's the one. Good. Still full. Now you get out of here, Alberta. I want you clear when I make my move.
I brought your horses around a few minutes before I got your food. They're around back, in that stand of trees behind the creek. Your dog is there, too.
You go back to your house and wait for me. Pack a few things. I'll be over to get you at 8 o'clock this evening, all right?
Oh, yes. I'll be waiting impatiently for you. Till then, darling.
You'll be waiting a long time. By 8 o'clock, I plan on being about 10 miles from this crazy town. This is like a nightmare. A real, living nightmare. That noose waiting for me is sure damn real. So was Alberta. Oh, how can I make this up to her? I'll think of something once I'm far away from this town. You want something?
The great Val Dooley. You don't look so damn tough to me.
I'm not Val Dooley. I keep telling you people that. My name is Frank Morgan.
You're a liar. Frank Morgan is dead.
Frank looked out the single window of his cell. It was dusk. Time to make a move. He looked back at the deputy. The jail keys were hanging from his belt.
I'm surprised the sheriff would leave an idiot like you in charge. You don't appear to have sense enough to come in out of the rain.
What the hell did you say?
I said you're a fool. You want me to repeat it?
Why, you scum-sucking some bitch. I got a good mind to come in there.
Why don't you go somewhere and play with dolls, Tucker? You're not man enough to take charge of me.
I'll stomp you flat, Dooley.
Not a chance, little boy. Or are you a girl all dressed up in man's clothes?
By God, I'll teach you a hard lesson you'll never forget, Dooley.
Don't strain yourself, Gertrude.
That's it.
Oh, please don't hurt me, Deputy. I was only funning with you.
You yellow skunk.
Deputy Tucker slapped Frank across the face. Frank suddenly drove his left hand into the deputy's belly and followed that with a right fist to the man's jaw. Deputy Tucker folded like a house of cards and hit the hard floor unconscious. Frank quickly handcuffed and gagged the man and shoved him under the bunk. He locked the cell door and pocketed the keys, then walked out of the cell block into the main office. Frank retrieved his gun belt and pocket watch, and then locked the front door from the inside and pulled down the blinds. Then he walked out the back door and locked it, using a key he found on the key ring taken from Deputy Tucker. Frank ambled along nonchalantly, looking like a man just out for an evening stroll. Stormy, his pack horse, and Wolf were waiting for him in the stand of timber by the little creek. Frank petted Wolf for a few seconds, then swung into the saddle and lifted the reins.
Let's get out of here. I think we overstayed our welcome in this part of California.
Frank headed south for a few miles, then cut due west, riding deeper into the Sierra Nevada range. He had no particular destination in mind, just getting away.
I'm gonna find this damn Val Dooley and clear my name. But first I have to contact my attorney in Denver and establish my true identity. Good thing I got that secret bank code only he and I know. But first I gotta find a town that's a damn sight friendlier than Deweyville.
Frank rode for several hours, rested his horse for a few hours, then headed out again, carefully avoiding roads. A couple of hours before dawn, Frank made a cold camp and slept for a time.
What is it, boy?
Frank was awakened by Wolf's soft growling. As soon as Wolf saw that Frank was awake, he ceased his growling and was silent, lying a few feet away from Frank. Frank longed for a cup of hot, strong coffee, but knew that even a small fire would be a danger now. He would stop after a few miles on the trail and make some coffee. Frank saddled up and rode on, constantly keeping a wary eye out for riders. Just as the sun was slowly sliding into afternoon, Frank came to a crossroads and had to make a decision. He had to buy some supplies. He then thought of a plan, realizing immediately it was a chancy one. But if he was going to clear his name, it was a chance he had to take. He came to a road sign that said, appropriately enough, Chance, 1 mile.
A very fitting name. Taking a chance with my life.
About a quarter of a mile outside of Chance, Frank spotted a young boy, maybe 8 years old, walking along the side of the road. Frank reined up.
Howdy, boy.
Howdy, mister.
You know if there's a lawyer in this town, son?
Sure is, mister. My daddy, Lawyer Witter.
Well, how about that? You reckon he's in his office?
Should be. You want to see him?
I sure do. Say, is there a bank in Chance?
Sure is. Can you give me a ride into town?
Be glad to. Climb on up.
That's a mean-looking dog you have there, mister.
Not really. He's just suspicious of strangers, that's all. You look after him while I see your daddy, all right?
He won't bite me?
No, just let him make the first move toward being friends.
Hey, it's Val Dooley! He's got Lawyer Winter's boy!
Get the marshal! It's Val Dooley!
Are you really Val Dooley?
No, son, I'm not Val Dooley. I'm Frank Morgan.
The gunslinger?
Yeah.
Creepers! You wouldn't tell me a fib, now would you?
No, son, I wouldn't. I'm Frank Morgan. Now, where's your daddy's office?
Right down there, on the right. That's his buggy in front of the office.
A crowd was rapidly gathering on both sides of the street, the men armed with rifles and shotguns, and it was a very unfriendly crowd.
Don't shoot yet! You might hit the boy!
A fat man with a large silver badge pinned to his vest stepped up to Frank.
Halt that animal and dismount with your hands in the air.
I'm not Val Dooley. I'm Frank Morgan, and I can prove it. Give me a minute or so with Lawyer Witter and give me some time at the telegraph office, and you'll see I'm telling the truth.
I know who you are. You're Val Dooley.
Frank reined up, and he and the young boy dismounted. Frank tied the reins to a hitch rail and stepped up onto the boardwalk, turning to face the marshal and the crowd.
You're wrong. I'm Frank Morgan. Just give me a few minutes and I'll prove it to y'all.
Frank Morgan? The gunfighter?
Yeah.
30 years ago, I lived down in Texas with my brother. That's before I got smartened up and moved out here. Why, you was just a snot-nosed kid then, about 14 or 15.
That's right, I was. I was working for the Phillips spread.
That's right, you sure was. You killed a man and had to take off.
Yeah. His name was Luther Biggs.
Oh, you are Frank Morgan, all right. He's who he says he is, folks. That's Frank Morgan.
Well, he sure looks like Val Dooley to me.
Well, he is Frank Morgan. Here's a book that'll show his picture. Look at it.
The crowd of locals gathered around the older man and stared at the penny dreadful, passing it around until everyone had an opportunity to look at the picture, then glance up at Frank, standing on the boardwalk, visually comparing the two.
I reckon you are who you say you are, Frank. But you and Val Dooley sure resemble.
What's going on out here? Johnny, what have you been up to now?
Nothing, Pa. This here is Frank Morgan, the gunslinger.
By God, you sure look like Val Dooley. But I can see a subtle difference.
Thank you. I'd like to have a few moments of your time, if I may.
Certainly. Come into my office.
Johnny, would you take my horses down to the livery and tell the man to take care of them?
Sure will, Mr. Morgan.
Wolf will go with you. Don't worry, he won't bite you.
And just calm down, everyone. This man is not Val Dooley, although I got to say the resemblance is uncanny. Come on into my office, Mr. Morgan. Let's get this mess straightened out.
I sure as hell hope we do.
Val Dooley or Frank Morgan? It don't make a tinker's damn to me. Turn around and face me.
Frank turned to once again face the crowd of citizens. A young man stepped out of the knot of people. He wore a tied-down pistol left side.
I'm facing you. What do you want?
If you're Dooley, there's reward money for you, dead or alive. If you're Morgan, folks back east will pay to see you dead. Money for me, whoever you are.
But first you have to kill me, boy.
I ain't no boy, damn you.
Ed Simpson, you take that gun off and get back to your daddy's spread. You hear me?
Shut up, Tom. You best carry your fat ass back to your office and stay out of my way.
Why, you young pup, you can't talk to me like that.
Ed turned to face the marshal, his hand dropping to the butt of his pistol. The marshal stopped, his face flushing with anger.
Back off, Tubby. This is between me and what's-his-name here.
Let them have at it, Tom. This ain't worth you getting shot.
How about a gunfighter?
How about what, son?
You and me, that's what.
I don't have any quarrel with you.
The hell you say? I'm calling you out, right now, you and me.
Calling me what, boy?
Don't laugh at me. Don't you dare laugh at me! Pull iron, gunfighter!
I'd really rather have a good meal than a pot of coffee, boy.
I ain't no boy, damn you!
All right, if you're a man, then act like one.
What do you mean by that?
Let's talk about this. There's no need for gunplay.
Listen to him, Ed.
You shut your fat mouth, Tubby!
It's your funeral.
No, it ain't my funeral. It's his funeral. You're gonna die, gunfighter.
We're all gonna die, boy, when the Lord decides to call us home. Nothing can change that.
Amen.
I'm tired of this. Drag iron, gunfighter!
I don't think so. It's too pretty a day for a gunfight.
What the hell has the weather got to do with anything?
Everything.
I think you're crazy.
Could be. I sure been called worse. How about you?
About me what?
Are you crazy?
Well, no, I ain't crazy.
Are you sure? You seem sort of crazy to me.
Oh, go on, Ed. Get on back home and act your age.
You shut up, George! This ain't none of your business!
And this isn't Dodge City, Kansas. We're a law-abiding community here. So just go on home, Ed.
Not until I do what I come here to do. And I come here to face Frank Morgan and collect the bounty that's on his head. And by God, that's what I aim to do.
Ed had turned away from Frank as he talked to the crowd. He did not see Frank move swiftly off the boardwalk and come up behind him. He felt someone tap him on the shoulder and turned around just in time to catch Frank's hard right fist on the side of his jaw. Ed Simpson collapsed onto the dirt of the street, out cold. Frank reached down, jerked Ed's pistol from leather, and handed it to the marshal.
Keep this, will you, Marshal? Until someone can talk some sense into this boy's head.
You could have shot him, Morgan.
I didn't want to shoot him. He'll have a headache and a sore jaw when he wakes up, but he'll be alive.
And he'll be mad as a hornet and coming after you.
He won't be coming after Morgan if he's in jail. Some of you boys carry Ed over to the jail, will you? We'll let him cool off in a cell for a few hours. Matthew, will you ride out to the Simpson spread and tell his daddy what happened here? Tell him to come in and fetch his boy.
Sure thing, Marshal.
Ed Simpson was toted off to the jail, and the crowd began to drift away. Frank stepped back up on the boardwalk to stand by Lawyer Witter.
You saved Ed's life, Mr. Morgan. Most men would have just shot him and been done with it.
It would suit me if I never had to shoot another man. Hell, I didn't really want to shoot the first one. That was many years ago. After it was over, I got sick and puked all over the place.
Wow, Frank Morgan, right here in town. I can't hardly believe it. Hey, how come you didn't hook and draw and shoot Ed Simpson, Mr. Morgan? I would have liked to seen that.
No, you wouldn't, Johnny. There's nothing pleasant about seeing a gunfight.
I wouldn't know. I ain't never seen one.
Ain't?
I mean, I've never seen one.
That's better, son. Now go tend to Mr. Morgan's horses.
Yes, sir. I'm going.
Good boy there.
Thanks. But he's a handful, I assure you.
Expect he is.
Frank cut his eyes as a woman walked up to stand by Lawyer Witter. And what a woman. She was surely one of the most beautiful women Frank had ever seen. Blonde hair and blue eyes. Frank immediately took off his hat.
Mr. Morgan, this is my wife, Lara. Lara, Frank Morgan.
A pleasure, Mrs. Witter.
Mr. Morgan, the famous pistol shooter?
I reckon, ma'am.
My word, what in the world brings you to our little town?
Just passing through, ma'am.
Please, call me Lara, Mr. Morgan.
As you wish, Lara.
May we speak for a moment, John? It's rather important.
Do you mind, Mr. Morgan?
Not at all. Take your time. I'll just sit down out here and have me a smoke.
The lawyer and his wife stepped into the office. Frank sat down on a bench on the boardwalk and rolled a smoke. Before he finished his cigarette, the marshal huffed up and sat down on the bench beside Frank, mopping his sweaty face with a bandana.
Ugh. You always create this much of a stir when you hit town?
Not usually, Marshal. How's the young gun hand?
Oh, he just has a sore jaw and a big mouth. But I keep reminding him that he's still alive. You would have been justified in killing him, Morgan.
I know, but it all worked out my way.
Until I turn him loose.
Maybe he'll cool down by then.
Where's Lawyer John?
With his wife in the office. A beautiful woman, that Laura.
You got no argument for me about that. She's a big city woman from somewheres back east.
She like it out here?
Not much. Place ain't refined enough for her taste. She told one woman here in town that she missed the opera and the symphony and high-toned events like that. Ballet, too, I think she said.
I guess moving out here would be quite a letdown.
I reckon. You, gonna be in town long, Morgan?
Day or two, I reckon. I want to get this mess about who I am straightened out. Get some supplies and a couple of meals I don't have to cook myself. Don't worry, Marshal. Not planning on starting any trouble.
Oh, I wasn't thinking you would, Morgan. Nothing like that.
What is it, Marshal? Something is gnawing on you.
Val Dooley's in this area, Morgan. I was warned by telegraph about it. He's got a big gang, and the sheriffs all around in a five-county area is sending out warnings about the gang hitting the towns.
And?
This is a rich town, Morgan. I mean rich. The bank is fairly bulging at the seams. I'm telling you this 'cause I know how you ain't Val Dooley. I went back to the office and took me a peek at some new Dodgers on Dooley. I figured you're maybe 5 or 6 years older than Val, but the resemblance is really spooky.
And you think you might need some help?
That's it, Morgan. I ain't no young squirt no more. I took this job because I'm too damn lazy to farm or log. But oddly enough, I've turned into a pretty fair lawman.
I'm sure you are, Marshal.
Well, how about it, Morgan? Want to help out an old fat man?
I'll stick around for a time, Marshal. Things might prove real interesting here in Chance.
Boy, that's a relief to my mind, Morgan.
Call me Frank, please.
Frank it is. I'm Tom. I'm right proud you're going to be helping out.
The office door opened and Laura stepped out to stand close to the bench. Frank looked up, her blue eyes locked with his. Frank knew right then he was in trouble.
Ma'am?
My husband will see you now, Mr. Morgan.
Thank you.
Marshal?
Mrs. Witter, you're looking well.
Good day, gentlemen.
That there's one hell of a woman. Too much for any one man to handle.
Probably right about that, Tom.
I've been told that she and her husband are having a mite of trouble. Also been told that John is a man that's prone to hitting.
He hits her?
That's the word around town.
Has she been unfaithful to him?
Laura? Oh, no. And believe me, in a town this size, I'd know.
Hard to believe a man would strike something that beautiful.
He does, though. And Dr. Evans is... well... I'm talking too much. When you get your business done with John, come see me, Frank.
I will.
John Witter and Frank went over to the bank, met with the bank president, and began the process of verifying Frank's identity. It didn't take long. By closing time, Frank's bankers in both Denver and San Francisco and his attorney, working with John Witter, had established who he was beyond any shadow of a doubt. Once that was done, Frank walked over to the marshal's office.
Tom.
Oh, hi, Frank. That coffee's hot and fresh. Cup's hanging on hooks on the wall. Help yourself.
I've decided to take you up on your offer, Tom. Who swears me in?
I do. Stand up and raise your right hand.
The quick ceremony over, Frank pinned on the star and sat back down to enjoy his coffee and roll a cigarette.
You speak to the town council about this?
Yep. While you were meeting at the bank. They were all in favor of it.
That's very interesting, Tom.
How so?
I'm a gunfighter, Tom. Not exactly what many would consider a model citizen. And I've only been in town a few hours.
You've worn a badge before, several times. And you've always done right by the job. The mayor says you were pushed into being a gunfighter.
I had some help, sure, in the beginning. But in the end, it was my decision. I learned to accept that.
Maybe this will be the town that settles you down.
Yeah, doubtful.
You might meet that special lady here. There are some fine-looking widow women around here.
Maybe so, Tom. But I'm not looking for a marriage partner. Especially a grass widow.
Oh? You'd probably be good with kids.
What shift do you want me to work, Tom?
Same as mine. We're both on call 24 hours a day. But not much happens around here in Chance. The occasional drunk, a fight now and then, kids acting up, getting into some harmless mischief.
Sounds exciting.
Exciting enough for an old fat man. You got a room at the hotel yet?
Yeah, I'm all set up.
Well, I'm going home, Ned. I live on Walnut Street, and everybody knows where. Just ask. I done gave that smart aleck Ed his supper. Soon as his pa shows up, you can cut him loose.
Will do, Tom. We'll see you in the morning.
I'm gonna kill you, Morgan. Just as soon as I get out of here.
Don't be a fool, boy. I don't think that bounty on my head is anything but a rumor. Where would you go to, and who would you ask to collect it?
I'm still gonna make you pull on me.
You're gonna have a long wait for that boy. Why don't you just settle down?
I'm faster than you, Morgan, and I'm gonna prove it.
You want some coffee, Ed?
You gotta help, Morgan. I don't want nothing from you.
Suit yourself. I didn't want to make any for you anyway.
Frank walked into the office, found a ring of keys, and stepped out onto the boardwalk, locking the office door. He walked to the Bluebird Cafe and got a plate of scraps for Wolf, then strolled down to the livery. He fed Wolf, made sure he had a bucket of water, and then walked the main street of town. Frank stopped in every store and introduced himself. Most people seemed genuinely glad to see him, greeting him warmly. Frank then walked across the street to the Bluebird Cafe for some supper.
Eddie Simpson's father is riding in, Mr. Morgan, and he looks angry.
Frank looked out the window into the street as three men came riding in, reining up in front of the marshal's office. The bigger of the three men stepped down and said something to the other men.
Is that Simpson?
That's Big Ed Simpson, Mr. Bull of the Woods himself.
Sounds like you don't like him.
I don't. He thinks he's better than everybody else. He's got money and a big spread and wants to boss everybody in town.
Oh, one of those types.
Yep.
He's a big one.
He's a bully, too. He's almost killed several men with his fists. He's crippled at least one I know of.
I can see how that might happen. He's sure a bull of a man. How old is he, would you say?
Early to mid-50s, I'd guess.
Good with a gun?
I don't know about that. I did hear someone say once that they thought he used to be a gunfighter years back. Right after the war, I think it was. You gonna go let him in the office, Mr. Morgan?
I'll just let him find me. The exercise will do him good. What do you think?
I think I like you, Frank Morgan.
5 minutes later, Big Ed Simpson and his men stomped into the cafe.
Hey, give me some service.
Calm down. The waitress will be out in a minute.
Who the hell are you to talk to me that way?
Frank Morgan, who the hell are you to come in here yelling?
Well, that's Val Dooley.
No, that's Frank Morgan. Man they call a drifter. What's with the badge? You a lawman now, Morgan?
Brand spanking new deputy for this town, Simpson. Just sworn in a few hours ago. You have a problem with that?
Since when does this town hire gunslingers as a law?
Oh, I reckon they figured if a former hired killer can become a respectable rancher, they could hire me as a deputy.
Who the hell are you talking about, Morgan?
I'll give you three guesses, Simpson. Why don't you shut up, sit down, and let me enjoy my coffee in peace? Then we'll go over to the office and get your loudmouthed son out of jail.
I think I'll just rip that tin star off you and kick your butt.
You must be really anxious to see your loudmouthed son, Ed.
What do you mean by that?
I'm going to try to explain it real simple, Ed. I want you to understand. If you take a swing at me, you're going to jail. Is that understood?
You're heading for the graveyard, Drifter. Nobody talks to me like that and lives. I'm going to beat you to death with my fist, and I'm going to enjoy doing it.
You're going to pay for any damage caused in this cafe, Simpson. You understand that?
The only damage is going to be to you, Drifter.
But come on, you loudmouth ape. Let's get this over with.
God damn! Big Ed didn't even hit the man once.
You boy, pick up your boss, carry him over to the jail. Move, damn it!
You gonna throw Big Ed in jail?
I sure am. Now pick him up and carry him over to the jail.
Big Ed's gonna kill you for sure.
I doubt it.
Frank motioned to the Simpson hands to pick up Big Ed. When they hesitated, Frank dropped his right hand to the butt of his peacemaker.
Whoa, take it easy, Mr. Morgan. We'll carry him across to the jail. Don't do nothing hasty now. Come on, boys. It'll take all three of us to tote Big Ed. Let's get to it. Hold it. I can't.
Wait, I've got him.
The three hands managed to get Big Ed Simpson up on his feet. He was only half conscious and not able to help much, but he did manage to put one boot in front of the other and stagger out onto the boardwalk. Then he fell down and rolled off the high boardwalk, landing half in and half out of a horse trough, taking one of his hands with him.
Oh, shit!
Oh, Lord, I done sat down in a pile of horse shit. Oh, God, and it's fresh, too.
Come on, Pete. Let's get the boss out of the trough. He's gonna be plenty pissed enough without getting half drowned. Jeez, you stink! Go wash or something.
Oh, go to hell, Claude!
What happened? Where am I?
On your way to jail. Now shut up and walk.
What's that smell?
That's Pete, boss. He sat down in a pile of shit.
What the hell did he do that for? Jail? What'd I do?
Assaulted a deputy. Now move, you big ox.
Big ox? You can't talk to me like that.
I just did. Now move your big butt.
Get your hands off of me.
Ed shook off the hands that were holding him up and promptly fell down in the street. Big Ed began crawling around in the dirt, trying to get up, mumbling and cussing all the while. By this time, a large crowd had gathered on both sides of the street, lining the boardwalks. The locals seemed to take a great deal of pleasure in watching Big Ed Simpson get what many felt was his long overdue comeuppance.
I'll kill you, Morgan! No man does this to me and lives!
What in the hell's going on here? Hey, get out of the way!
This man assaulted me, Tom. I subdued him.
You sure did. Yep, I'd say you done a right good job of subduing the prisoner.
Get him on his feet and get him over to the jail.
We'll have to drag him.
Then drag him.
I'll fire you off!
All right, if that's the way you want it.
Now that's plumb disgusting. A man of your position, eating dirt and horseshit.
Stand up, you big fat tub of lard!
Stand aside, people. Here comes Doc Evans. Let him through.
What in the world is going on here? You testing the soil for something, Ed?
Go to hell, Doc!
All in due time, Ed. You would be the famous Mr. Morgan, right?
I'm Frank Morgan, yeah.
Did you do this to Ed?
I sure did.
Well, and you are some man, Mr. Morgan. I don't think Ed Simpson has ever been bested in a fist fight. At least, not since I've known him.
He got lucky.
Somehow I doubt that, Ed. You object if I get him over to my office and check him, Deputy?
Not at all. But if he can't walk, he'll have to crawl. He just fired the two hands who came in with him.
I was only funning with them. I didn't mean nothing by it. I swear I'm gonna get you, Morgan.
Oh, shut up, Ed. Take your whipping like a man and forget it. I'm sure you started it.
I don't take no lip from any man, Doc. You know that.
You men get him up and over to my office. Go on. Hell, he didn't mean it when he fired you.
Watch it, goddammit! I ain't a sack of goddamn potatoes!
Pete and Claude half carried, half dragged Big Ed out of the street.
Are you hurt?
Not a scratch, Doc.
You're lucky, Morgan. I hope you know that. Big Ed is pure hell in a fight.
He's also overconfident and careless, Doc.
Well, I sure can't argue that, Morgan. Get some hot water and soak your hands for a few minutes. Helps keep down the swelling. I'll see you later.
What happened, Frank?
Before Frank could reply, his eyes touched those of Lara Witter standing alone on the boardwalk, staring at him. She smiled and turned away. Frank turned back to the marshal, and he described his encounter with Big Ed.
You made a bad enemy, Frank. Big Ed will never forget nor forgive.
Where'd he come from, Tom?
Drove a herd of cattle in here about 20 years ago. Right after the war, I'm told. I wasn't here. I come in 70. There was some talk about him once being a gunfighter. You ever heard of him?
Not under the name he's using now.
You got suspicions, Frank?
Not really. But if Big Ed gets up in my face again, there'll probably be a killing. I won't take a lot of shit from his type.
He's a pushy one for a fact. Used to get in his way. He's got some randy old boys working for him. Real hard cases, I'd say.
Is he married?
To a woman that's just as mean as he is, maybe more so. Elsie's her name. Don't nobody like that woman, and I mean nobody. She's stuck up and got a dirty mouth on her. Pretty woman, till she opens her mouth.
Sounds like she and Ed were made for each other.
I reckon that's one way of looking at it.
I'm going to toss his big butt in jail, Tom.
Might do him some good, but I doubt it.
You don't have any objections to my doing that?
Nope. You're the law. You're wearing a badge, and people have to respect that. If they don't, well, then we got a breakdown in the system, don't we?
Yeah.
So toss his butt in jail.
Has he ever bowed up on you, Tom?
Once. I told him if he ever done it again, I'd go back to my office, get a greener, and spread his guts all over the street. He don't like me, and I don't like him. But he's polite around me since that happened.
Frank looked around in the waning light of late afternoon. It would be dark soon, and he still had not checked out the town's two saloons.
What's worrying you, Frank?
Nothing, really. Just thinking about the two saloons in town, that's all.
The Gold Nugget and the Purple Lily? The Lily is a tough one. Sorry about that, Frank. I should have told you. You kind of got the badge shoved on you real quick.
No problem, Tom.
You want some backup?
I'm just going to walk in, look around, and walk out, I hope.
Shouldn't be any trouble in the middle of the week. On Friday and Saturday nights, it's mostly drunks who act up a little.
See you in the morning, Tom. You have yourself a nice, quiet evening.
Take care, Frank.
Frank crossed the street and walked down to the Purple Lily Saloon. A piano player was hammering out a fast tune, and there were several tables of card players and a half dozen or so men dressed in rough range clothing standing at the bar. Frank pushed open the bat wings and stepped inside. The men at the bar turned to stare at him. The card players stopped their games and stared.
Don't let me interrupt, boys. Just looking around, getting acquainted.
Don't bother in here, Morgan. Don't nobody here want to meet you.
Hello, Slick. Been a long time.
Not long enough, Morgan. I heard you got killed over in Montana. I celebrated that news for 2 days. Now you come and show up and spoil everything.
Sorry to spoil your celebration, Slick.
Not as sorry as I am. My shoulder still bothers me with that doc dug out the lead you put in me.
I had to hurry that shot, Slick. It was my intention to kill you.
Slick turned back to the bar and picked up his drink.
Coffee, please.
My, ain't he the polite one?
Hello, Curly. You didn't think I recognized you, did you?
Hell with you, Morgan.
You're a long way from Wyoming.
Free country?
Yes, it is. You working around here, Curly?
I might be.
How about you, Slick?
I've been thinking about signing on with the ES spread.
Ed Simpson's brand?
Yeah. You got a problem with that?
You real sure you remember how to rope and brand?
Buy a lady a drink, deputy?
Sure. Bartender?
I'm available for a poke, deputy.
I'm sure you are. Now back away and find someone else to proposition.
Well, never hurts to ask.
What are you wanting here, Morgan?
Some friendly conversation, maybe.
You won't find that in here.
Frank turned slowly to look toward the rear of the saloon. Johnny Vargas sat alone at a table, staring at him.
been a while, Johnny. I figured you'd be long dead by now.
A few have tried, Morgan. They didn't make it.
Same here, Johnny.
Johnny Vargas was perhaps the most dangerous gunslick in the entire West. Incredibly fast.
What brings you to this peaceful town, Johnny?
Just passing through. I've been here a few days. I like it. Hell, I might just stick around.
You do that, Johnny. As long as you obey the law.
And if I don't?
Then you'll have me to deal with.
You couldn't beat me on your best day, Drifter.
Are you anxious to back that statement up, Johnny?
Johnny Vargas pushed back his chair and stood up. Frank stepped away from the bar. For several slow heartbeats, the two men faced each other in silence. Then Johnny began to smile.
Something funny, Johnny.
You might say that. Killing a law dog is something I ain't never done. At least I ain't never been convicted of doing so. I ain't gonna start now and spend the rest of my life on the run. So just stand easy and finish your coffee. You ain't gonna make me pull on you. I'm done for this time, Morgan.
Suits me, Johnny.
Have a seat, Morgan.
Thanks. Believe I will.
Something on your mind?
You.
What about me?
The saloon is more than half filled with thieves and gunslicks, Johnny.
I noticed. So?
Why?
That I don't know, Morgan. The word went up and down the line to gather here. That's all I know about it.
Val Dooley, maybe?
Val Dooley is a piker, Morgan. He's crazy to boot. There ain't nothing he's doing that interests me.
What do you know about him?
Why should I tell you, Morgan? Hell, I don't even like you.
Huh. You want me to get up and leave?
No, I reckon not. What do I know about Dooley? Well, not much, really. He's younger than us. You and him resemble a whole lot. I know he's a woman abuser. I don't much hold with that.
What else, Johnny?
Nothing, I reckon. Well, nothing, excepting I don't much like a lot of these men that's come drifting into town. They're worthless trash.
Yeah, thieves and murderers.
And worser, Morgan. A lot worser.
Johnny, I don't expect you to turn on your friends. But if you hear of anything that these men are up to that turns your stomach, will you let me know?
I reckon I could do that, Morgan. Yeah, I will.
Good enough, Johnny. Thanks.
But I'm still gonna kill you, Morgan. Someday.
Let me know when you're gonna try.
Oh, you'll know, Morgan.
He stood on the boardwalk for a moment, breathing the cool air, then walked across the street to the town's other saloon, the Gold Nugget. The Nugget, as the locals called it. It was the middle of the week, and unlike the Purple Lily, the Nugget was nearly empty. Frank looked in over the bat wings, then walked on up the boardwalk. The town was shutting down for the evening, most of the stores already dark. Only Jack O'Malley's general store was still open and doing business. Frank stepped inside, bought another sack of tobacco, and looked at the selection of men's clothing for a few minutes. A suit caught his eye, and he fingered the material.
Nice.
That's a new style, Mr. Morgan. Just got that in the other day from Kansas City. I'll bet that's your size, too.
It's nice. I'll come in tomorrow and try it on.
I'll put it up for you.
Thanks.
Frank stepped back onto the boardwalk and stood in the shadows, watching as several men slowly walked their horses up the street. They stopped in front of the Nugget and dismounted, slowly looking all around them.
They're up to no good, and judging by their outfits, they aren't working ranch hands.
When the trio stepped up to stand in front of the windows of the saloon, letting the light bathe them, Frank could see the men wore their guns tied down.
Gonna be interesting hearing chants before long, I'll bet. Real interesting.
Frank walked down to Doc Evans' office and opened the door.
I put Big Ed to sleep with laudanum. He's got some cracked ribs. Don't worry about him escaping from this office. He'll be out until mid-morning. I assure you of that.
Good enough, Doc. I'll see you in the morning.
Frank went back to the hotel and went to bed. Frank was up early the next morning, as was his habit. The Bluebird Cafe had not yet opened when he walked down to the livery to check on his horses and Wolf. He had bought several cans of bully beef and some bread the day before, and he fed Wolf some beef and bread and filled up his water bucket. After Wolf had eaten, Frank played with him for a time, and then walked up to the Bluebird Cafe and had breakfast. He had the waitress fix a breakfast plate and took the food over to the jail.
Where's my pa?
At the doctor's office.
What's he doing over there when I'm here?
He's resting after getting his butt kicked.
My pa got his butt kicked? By a horse?
No, by me.
I don't believe that.
Believe what you want to believe, boy. But for now, eat your breakfast and shut up.
I'll kill you, Morgan.
I've heard that a few times in my life.
I mean it.
Yeah, yeah.
Why, you son of a bitch! Just wait until my pa...
Smells good. I just come from the docks. Big Ed is sleeping like a baby. Doc said you stopped by.
Yeah, Big Ed's got some stove-up ribs. He'll be out of commission for a time.
When he gets on his feet, he'll be coming for you, Frank.
I'll be here.
He don't worry you?
Not a bit. Something on your mind, Tom?
Well, I don't like the idea of all these strangers coming in town. They look like a rough bunch.
They are.
Frank told the marshal what Vargas had relayed to him.
What do you think it is, Frank?
I think Val Dooley has put out the word he's hiring guns.
Then my hunch was right. They're planning on hitting this town.
That would be my guess.
Oh, hell. That damn Val Dooley.
It's a good-sized town, Tom, with lots of capable appearing men in it. Just pass the word. Tell the men to go armed.
Uh-huh. Val's not a stupid person, Frank. He wouldn't hit this town head on. He knows him and his gang would be shot to pieces. No, he's got something else in mind.
I can't imagine what.
Val's sly like a fox, Frank. Not brilliant, just sly. He's got something up his sleeve. Bet on that.
Then we'll just have to get ready and stay ready. Not every man in town, just a dozen that you know will stand when it gets rough.
Good idea. And we'll make sure that they can keep their mouths shut. I don't want to throw this town into a panic.
Yeah, that too.
You're pretty damn calm about this, Frank.
Nothing has happened yet. I've been a hunted man in one way or another most of my life. I don't panic easily.
And this has been a peaceful town for years, Frank. Very little trouble. The town has a lot of women and kids in it. I don't want to see any of them get hurt.
Then we'll just have to make sure that doesn't happen.
Frank's thoughts immediately leaped to Laura Witter.
You have a funny look on your face, Frank. What are you thinking about?
This town and the people in it.
Tom gave him an odd look, then plopped his hat on his head and headed for the door.
I'm going to start talking to a few people. It's time to get the home militia set up.
I'll be around.
Little Ed Simpson had thrown his breakfast all over his cell and out into the corridor. He sat on his bunk and stared defiantly at Frank.
Clean it up.
Go to hell!
Then it can stay there and rot and stink. I don't care.
Fine with me. My pa's gonna kill you anyways.
Doubtful, boy. Real doubtful.
Nobody shoves my pa around and gets away with it.
I didn't shove him around, boy. I knocked him around.
You're a dead man, Morgan! I'll spit on your grave, you son of a bitch!